Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
You certainly are.
So we're finally ready to rock here. We ran into a little bit of difficulty.
A little bit.
Trying to do these remotely.
Yes. Because our schedules are not going to match up now that you're back to school. Is that the deal?
Yeah. Well, it's only when you're on days. Because I won't be here when you're done.
Okay, and so you'll be there when I'm on afternoons?
Afternoons is fine, yeah.
Because you don't leave till when?
Afternoons?
Yeah.
Afternoons, I leave when you leave the studio.
Okay.
So I leave with you. So I'm here until, you know what I mean? From when you're done work until we... I leave when you go to work.
So you get a really late start to your day then?
Yeah, well, I've already done school by then.
I don't understand. Then if I'm on afternoons, I still get to your house at 1:30?
Yeah, yeah. It's all the same when you're on afternoons. Because I come home and I have to leave again.
Oh.
That's every day. So that's why I have that window between, you know what I mean, 1:30 and 3 o'clock.
So what are you doing at 3 o'clock?
At 3 o'clock, I have either a doctor's appointment or a training appointment with Reno.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's every day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday for one, Tuesday, Thursday for the other. The Tuesday, Thursday one might change in the near future, so we might be able to switch the day to Tuesday possibly, though. So what's happening? Anything? You setting up some golf time?
Yeah, and I have no wheels.
Why?
Kim's gone to Heritage Village. There's like a big... antique vintage sale there. So her and her friend are set up a booth there.
Okay.
And Eric's at work.
Oh, he's got the car.
He's got my car, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Kids are growing up, boy.
Yeah. He got an extra car he could use.
At least he didn't steal it like some kids we knew.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I don't know. How do you know he didn't steal it?
Well, because I'm sure you gave it to him.
No, I mean not today, but when I was doing that when I was 14.
That's what I mean. Like some kids we knew.
Right. Whereas when he was 14, he could have been doing the same thing.
I suppose, yeah. You'll hear about it later.
I don't know. I haven't told my dad that he told his family.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about it later. You know who that is?
Nope.
Good song. And something that a lot of people probably don't even know. Because I don't think the album was that big of a... it didn't do that great, except maybe for one song. Van Halen, Fair Warning.
Right. I was a pretty big fan of that CD.
I was too. I thought it was really cool. But I think it was maybe a little underrated for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a tune out there, though, that did get some...
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was maybe the song Fair Warning.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just going to check it out as we speak, but anything else happening?
Getting pretty close to shutdown.
Oh, so, yeah? A couple weeks or more?
2 weeks, yeah. 2 weeks from...
Very nice.
Yesterday, actually.
Two weeks from yesterday? What do you mean?
Will be my last day, yeah.
Yeah, you have 2 weeks to go.
2 weeks to go.
Okay, yeah.
2 weeks off.
That's pretty good. And so that brings you to a couple weeks. Is what, the first and second, or second and third week in July?
It's the 10th and 11th. 10th, the week of, weekend of the 10th and
11th. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Oh, this is the song that was actually the more popular thing, I guess, on...
Fair Warning.
Fair Warning would have been Mean Street.
Yep.
Can you hear that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, a lot of it.
Wonder if it's picking up for the in the show mic.
There were some other cool songs on there too, though, that I thought were pretty cool. Sunday Afternoon in the Park, I like. One Foot Out the Door. Push Comes to Shove. They're all cool, really. So This Is Love, that was a big one too, wasn't it?
Oh, that was huge, yeah.
Yeah. But the one I was singing actually was Hear About It Later. I don't want to hear about it later.
Yeah.
Old Van Halen sure was cool, man. Good stuff. Loved it.
Yeah, me too.
Still do. I liked it more with him than Hagar. Did you like the Hagar stuff though?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was a huge fan of Montrose. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was a big fan of Sammy Hagar's solo career. You know, the Red stuff.
Yeah. Same here. And same with right after Montrose was a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, Hagar was doing.
Yeah, and then later his Mambo Wombo or whatever it all was. That was cool too, though.
That was cool. That's probably the least coolness of all the stuff we're talking about.
It was some good hard rock, though.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, he was still a little hanging a little on the Montrose stuff when he first left, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Reckless and those kind of things.
Reckless. Yeah.
And then he got into that I Can't Drive 55 stuff and that was cool rock too, but the earlier stuff and then the later stuff that he did though was pretty hard rock and stuff.
Sure was.
Should we get into some real news?
Real news.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
All right. What's happening on the real news front?
Did you know that older people should have lower drinking limits?
Did I know that? Well, especially if they're behind a wheel.
That's what they're saying. That there was a study done in the UK that said that older people are more sensitive to the effects of alcohol than regular adults. Younger adults, I guess I should say, and
right.
That they should have a lower, I guess, what is it, a tolerance as far as, you know, drinking and driving and
yeah,
and just drinking in general. They shouldn't drink as much.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know I can't drink as much as I used to. In fact, I don't hardly drink at all, and I know you don't drink at all either.
But that can only be a good thing for us, I suppose. Speaking of older people.
Yes.
My grandmother fell last night and broke her hip and her arm. Yeah.
No.
91.
Bummer.
So we're just waiting to find out what's going to happen, and I got to go to the hospital when we're done the shows here. So, it really sucks, man, because she's not in a good way to be going into surgery, you know, at this time in her life.
No. So what happened? How did she fall? Do you know?
I don't know all the details even yet, really. But I just know she fell and she's at the hospital. My mom's there right now and we're going to go down there shortly and see what's going on. And she's going to have Dr. JC is going to be doing the surgery. So they're waiting for her blood pressure to rise a little bit. And she's on lots of morphine right now. My mom said she's pretty much incoherent right now.
Oh, bummer. Well, I'll put Goldie in our prayers.
Appreciate that. Thank you. So I'll, keep you posted on that one.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I wanted to mention Obama wants to bring home... we hear this all the time, though, don't we? Didn't we hear this before when Obama went into office that he wanted to bring home troops from wherever the troops are?
Well, he said, I'm going to pull all the troops out of Iraq. He can take that to the bank. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And we still have American troops in Iraq. We got tons in Afghanistan as well. There was a big surge, and now he wants to basically pull back the surge is what he's going to be
well,
doing.
Well, they have a fair-sized army now, I guess it is, in Iraq, right? So
In Iraq, not so much, actually. In Iraq,
am I thinking of...
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. Where Bin Laden was had Al-Qaeda.
Well, that's supposedly where all the training was going on. That was George Bush's excuse for us going into Afghanistan in the first place.
Right.
So
they're saying I guess he's saying realistically about 10,000, but they're hoping for 15,000 people to come back. So,
yep. I think all the stuff's in place for whatever they want to do as far as heroin production and oil pipeline. What are you laughing? I'm serious. It's totally true.
I'm sure they're going to bring, I'm sure we're going to see 10,000 people come home for sure.
Oh, yeah, but they got whatever, 30, 40,000 people there.
Yeah, yeah. They really should just bring them all home.
Well, you got to have someone keep an eye on the heroin production and the oil pipeline.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Got to protect your stuff that you, yeah, whatever you stole from the people who actually live there.
How about our mail strike?
I have been not getting any mail.
Yeah.
And since I don't get any checks in the mail, like from the government, mm-hmm. which I think there's still postmen still sending those out, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
Just government checks are getting out. And other than that, we got a mail strike, yeah. And the government is trying to put through some back-to-work legislation.
So well, I wish they'd get it together sooner than later.
You're missing some mail, are you?
I want my bills.
Exactly. It's funny, every place you call, like if you want some service from somebody, like, you know, yeah. CAA or your phone company or whatever, you know, you get a recorded message automatically like, hey, there's a mail strike and it's up to you to make sure you get your money to us.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, can I skip this part, please? I don't owe you any money and quit mailing me. I get all my bills online. I'm sure you do, too.
Do I? I don't know. I usually just have everything gets paid out of my account, so I don't have to deal with it. So the few things that don't, I have probably no clue as to when they're actually due or anything.
You can tell us, Jeff. Your wife takes care of all the bills.
She takes care of everything.
She takes
care of me.
Well, that's funny. She takes care of me, too.
I would have no idea how to run all this equipment if it wasn't for her. So we could record today.
Wow. She's amazing.
Isn't she? Something in the entertainment world. Steven Seagal talking to USA Today about when he was a kid and in school and that type of thing. Seventh grade in a Los Angeles private school. He said it was terrible for him because the year he hit puberty, he was 6'4", 12 years old.
I didn't even know he was 6'4" today. I knew he was a big guy, but I didn't know 6'4". I didn't realize he was that big.
Yeah, I guess he's pretty large. But I mean, was pretty large, too, as a
tall.
Kid.
12 years old. Yeah. He's only 100 pounds less than he is now.
You so said he was like 100 pounds less than he is now, right?
So he's just a gangly, tall dude.
And he said he used to wear a Superman cape under his clothes. And he says that's the truth until he was about 12 years old. Under every outfit, just in case, he wore that. Just a cape, like, I guess after one of his older brother's basketball games where he ripped off his clothes, he whipped out the cape, I guess, and ran down to the side of the court yelling, "Go, Adam, that's his brother." And he said his brother gave him his mom's eyes. He never wore it since. But he did. He did turn out to be a Superman.
He sure did.
And he's Katie Seagal's brother, right? I couldn't believe that. That's what I've been told.
I didn't even realize their names were even spelt the same.
I don't know. I guess they're sister and brother.
Wow.
Oh wait, they might be brother and sister, not sister and brother. Don't quote me.
She's a pretty tall person too.
She's kind of large. So I can see that, I guess.
I guess.
I've never seen anything anywhere to actually prove it to me, but I hear that, you know.
You haven't wikied it up yet?
No, I haven't. I hear some keys, though.
That's the dog chewing on a bone over here.
Tell us about the Tesla Roadster, too.
Well, Tesla Roadster, that was the first car that Tesla, the electric car company, had come out with. They took a Lotus frame and basically made their car out of that, and they were like anywhere from $120,000 to $180,000 depending on what battery package you bought. And it turns out they're going to be discontinuing that model in favor of the S model, which is the sedan, the four-door model. And that one is going to be going for, the cheapest you can buy one of those for is $58,000, and that gives you 160 miles worth of travel based on what battery pack they put in there, but they're not even going to start making those right away. The first S model they're going to start making is the one that will give you 300 miles per charge, and those are going to go for $80,000. So for 80 grand, you can get yourself an electric car from Tesla, but you can't get yourself a Roadster. So those things are going to be a collector's item, no doubt. And I think they made like 2,000 of them, I think they made. So
have you seen the sedan?
The S model, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, it looks, it's a sharp car too, but it's, you know, it's not like a Roadster. But then again, it's not like, what's the Toyota one, the Prius? Doesn't look like one of those either, so that's a good thing, I think.
Uh-huh. It sort of reminds me of, I don't know what, maybe a Mitsubishi or possibly a Lexus of some kind or something.
Oh, the body style?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good comparison, I would say, yeah, for sure.
Pretty cool, though. They make a pretty sharp vehicle, and it's cool that they, I mean, that company only made one vehicle, right?
Well, yeah, Tesla, they started, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and they started making these Roadsters. Just, I think this is more like the experiment to see if we could actually make them, you know what I mean?
Right.
To see if it was a doable, feasible thing, and sure enough, they got it going on. So, the next story I want to talk about was the Israelites. People who live in Israel. They wanted the app Infatata pulled from the App Store, the Israeli right. App Store. Mm-hmm. This is Apple's iPhone App Store. And the reason they want to do that, because this Infatata app basically is...
Intifada.
Intifada, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, the T's before the F.
They wanted to have it pulled because basically it's a Palestinian instruction manual on how to overthrow or get rid of the Jews, basically. That's not very nice, is it?
Sounds like Germany all over again.
Well... In Germany, it was, I think it was a different story.
Of course it was.
But whereas, you know, the Palestinians, they were basically kicked out of their land and the Jews moved in. And so they want to, you know, they don't feel very good about that. So that's a lifelong, generation-long fight that they're going to be having. And since I wrote this story in the show notes, the app has been pulled.
Yeah.
So, there you go. By the way, Katie Seagal is not...
Not related to Steven?
Not related to Steven, no. Their names are spelled different.
Yeah, see, I was right all along. I never wanted to believe it, but that's all I ever heard.
No, not even related.
Good stuff. Thank you for that. And now we get into today's topic, speaking of TV stars, reality television. Do you watch much reality TV?
I don't watch much TV, period.
Neither do I.
But I know people who do, and I know people who talk about it on Facebook and on Twitter. And on
reality shows?
Reality shows, yeah. They get so caught up in them, and it's like they think that this is just
think
a
it's
story.
Real life.
That, yeah, it's real life. This is none of this stuff is scripted.
It's all entertainment.
Of course it is. Could you imagine actually having TV cameras? Like, what was it? It's Big Brother, Little Brother, whatever brother. A bunch of people live in a house, and they don't get to go out of the house. Or even, you know, Survivor, they're stuck on an island or stuck in some jungle land, and they don't get to, you know, see anybody else. And you think it would be interesting TV just to have, you know, cameras wandering around watching these people? It's not.
Yeah, for some people it is. But I've said before, people will watch anything. Not every people will watch everything.
Every people.
Right. But
every
a lot of people, and I would probably go as far as to say most people will watch anything.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't spend that much time in front of the TV, I guess. And now, as a kid, did you watch a lot of TV?
I guess a fair amount. I mean, I remember, you know, to some degree, most of the cool kids shows and stuff like that that we watched and things after school and whatever, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
I don't know that I was like, it wasn't like a really, really like a caught up in TV or anything like that. You know what I mean? I don't think it was too much TV.
No, me neither. And I don't think I watched much TV at night either. It was mostly, like you say, after school.
Yeah.
And all that TV was old stuff as it was. Like, you know, I really liked The Little Rascals, which was like decades before.
Yeah, same here.
I was around. Or Lost in Space, which was on reruns from, you sure. know, 20 years before I was watching it. That kind of stuff. So that's what I was into when I was watching TV. But as
yeah,
far as
same
like
here.
Nighttime TV, you know, I can remember like, well, I can remember Columbo, which Peter Falk just passed away, what, yesterday?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
83 years old, yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, he had a good run there.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Yep.
I like Columbo.
Columbo was a good show, and I'm trying to think of some $6 Million Man I liked watching, yeah. I think.
That was, what's his name? Steve Austin. What was his real name?
Lee Majors.
Lee Majors, right. Then they had the $6 Million Woman. Remember that?
No, it was something else woman, Bionic Woman.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right. The Bionic Woman or whatever it was called.
Yeah, because by the time she had to get fixed, I think inflation had kicked in. It cost like $10 million to fix her up.
Yeah, and they didn't want to let people know how much it costed.
And we still haven't seen the episode where those two get together, right?
No, we didn't. That never happened?
No, it happened, but it's still X-rated. We can't see it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's locked in some safe somewhere.
All righty. We should be able to find that on the internet.
No, I've looked. I look every day.
Some information here that says that reality television is producing some pretty shocking and eye-opening statistics. And according to Medical Procedure News, reality television is attributing to cosmetic surgery procedures with more than 9.2 million procedures performed as result of people watching these shows. That's insane.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the show that my wife watches once in a while. It's the Housewives one. Housewives of whatever.
Yeah, Beverly they have a Hills. Few different ones of those, I think. Housewives of New York, Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and those women are done up as far as plastic surgery goes.
For sure. There's shows, I guess, like, and a couple of these, I'm not even sure if I heard of, but one's called Are You Hot? Another one, A Search for America's Sexiest People. Of course, Extreme Makeover. And young women believe that to be accepted, you have to be hot or a bombshell, you know. So they buy into all this.
That's too bad, really.
Since the boom of reality television in 2000, eating disorders in teenage girls aged 13 and 19 have nearly tripled. Like trying to get skinny and stuff like that, I guess.
Yep.
And they say number of shooting days for reality TV in Los Angeles rose 53% just last year.
Shooting days?
Yeah, shooting days, shooting for the shows.
Okay.
Which is pretty huge. And making up to about 40% of all on-location production, or making for about 40% of all on-location production, which is it's just huge. Reality TV is huge, and that Mark Barnett guy or whatever, he just like, he's got everything going on, that guy.
Yeah, he's taking it to wherever he can take it, stay on top of it and get to the next newest thing or the latest craze or start something new and run with it. Because he can, as far as reality TV show budgets go, it's relatively low. Like, you know, you got to pay for some cameras and some camera people, some lighting, and you know, you're paying more for the crew than you are for the talent.
That and for the editing, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm just talking about the shooting of it, you know, whereas you get someone, you know, get an actor on set and he's making as much as, you know, half the crew.
Yeah.
In some of the cases, whereas everybody's kind of making the same kind of money, basically, unless, you know, they make it, you know, they actually make a name for themselves. I think there was the one girl on one of those Housewives shows, she ended up getting a spot on Celebrity Apprentice.
Uh-huh.
Which is another reality TV show that's gone in like a different direction as well. And as far as that goes, it's more real in so much that you get real situations
right.
that we know are planned ahead of time. It's not something that's made up. It's something you really got to do.
Right.
But, you know, as far as any drama that's created, which, you know, you got to have drama. That's what they want. I'm hearing a little bit of feedback in action. Is that you on
That's
your
not
end,
feedback. Or? That's one of the phone lines here. And we're just letting it go. They say of the 240,000 entertainment jobs in Los Angeles, 30,000 are tied to reality television. And it costs $7 to produce a 10-day reality show.
Oh, well, I'm going to produce a 10-day reality show if it only costs
$7. $7. How can that be?
Seven.
Last point for me really are... is that reality TV episodes have increased to 57% of all television shows that can be found on, you know, regular TV.
So do you think that TV content producers are making more money based on that because they don't have to pay the big bucks? Or?
Oh, yeah. It must be raking in cash for sure. They wouldn't be doing as much of it as they are.
Yeah, it seems like the you know, the sitcom or the drama shows are not waning, but they just don't seem to be as prevalent as they used to be. No, there's a few of them like NCIS and CSI and there was Two and a Half Men, which was a great show until they had a collapse there. But yeah. I don't think shows like that just they're hard to take. I think.
Yep.
Develop an audience for, but people seem to like their reality TV.
They sure do. And we should be moving on to Music Mayhem.
Sunday morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig, brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
This week on Music Mayhem, it's Reality's Fool by John Oliva's Pain.
you is breaking news. You must be the perfect affair. So I live my life inside this bottle, and I pray I live to see it tomorrow. It's so sad, but it's true. I'm reality's fool. Thank you.
There you have Reality's Fool, John Oliva's Pain. John Oliva, by the way,
yeah,
the
tell brother me about of John Oliva.
The brother of Chris Oliva. And
oh,
these two guys used to be in a band called Savatage, which was a cool heavy band throughout like the 80s. 80s to, I can't remember what year Chris Oliva died. I'm going to say sometime in, it probably wasn't even the 90s. I'm going to say maybe 2000 or so or whatever. I really don't remember when he died. But anyway, they were brothers. They were in Savatage, and John Oliva's a singer. Chris was a guitar player. And John Oliva's Pain is a band that he has now, and it's pretty heavy stuff. He's a pretty heavy singer.
And you know these guys personally?
No, I don't know them actually personally, no.
You need, Wicked Angel was never on a bill with Savatage?
Not on a bill with Savatage, no.
Okay.
Sure would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Mozilla delivered two things this week. Firefox 5 for personal computer and Android phones, and the promise to complete the new browser just a few months after its predecessor, which is what they did, because if anybody actually uses Firefox, they had just released version 4 recently. And I think what they're trying to do is trying to stay on Chrome and Safari's tail. Like, they want to make sure that their releases are coming at the same rate as those other two browsers, which they right. weren't. Whereas, Safari and Chrome, I get an email every week saying, you know, there's a new version of Chrome available. So I thought that was interesting. I tend to use the latest browser, whatever it is, out of those three, Safari, Chrome, or Firefox. Mm-hmm. Do you stick with the same browser all the time?
I mostly stick with the same browser. I use Safari, but I find that I sometimes, like, I'll switch between that and Firefox, but not using Firefox all that often. But there are a lot of times when something doesn't work in Safari and I need Firefox for it. So,
right.
To test web pages too.
Cool. If you're wondering what's new in the new version of Firefox is support for CSS animations, which allows web page elements to just move around on the screen just using code. You don't have to, you know, there's no Java or what's the other thing? Flash. Making stuff move around on your page, and it tends to load a lot faster, and it's more compatible with more browsers, the CSS animations. And it's going to be one of the things that is just going to be very common, and hopefully these other proprietary type things like Flash will not be used in that situation. I think there's a place for Flash on the web, but it just seemed to take over there for a bunch of years. It just seemed to do everything, you know, played music and showed movies, and it was, you know, it was a whole web interface at one time. And, you know, I think people are trying to slide away from that more and more as more people view the web on their mobile devices. I just heard a stat yesterday that in Canada, 1/3 of all mobile web use is on the iPad.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting.
You know, I'm going to be one of those statistics soon.
Oh, Big JD, you're just a statistic.
Ooh, I can't wait for my iPad with engraving.
What did you get put on it?
www.bigjd.com.
Of course. You couldn't get an engraving of like your face?
No.
Like with those light scribe burners?
I tried. I'll have to go with a jello skin for that.
You know how they used to make a picture of whatever using just numerals? Like, you know, they used to just put numbers. And if you looked at it far enough away, it actually did look like a face or a tree.
Yeah, that was very cool.
For back in the day, it was cool, yeah. And this week's Jabber Quote brought to us by Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of all things you need to watch your reality TV shows, popcorn and chips and peanuts and everything you need over
popcorn,
at the corner.
Peanuts. Oh, where are they located?
the corner of Wabash and Strabane, beautiful Burbank, very California. Nice. Yeah, you can find them at StephenLarry.com.
Now, is this your quote? Did you put up, or did I do this?
I did.
Oh, okay, give it to us.
Television viewers, they've been around for a long time. They've been watching this thing now for 50 years. I mean, they know exactly what's happening when it comes to television programming. You can't put anything over them anymore. And that was from Maury Povich, a king of, I was going to say of reality TV. And what he did was, it was kind of like the essence or the beginning of reality TV, but it was in a studio. Like, you know, all the stuff that happened on stage that was supposedly
right. Those
life,
things,
you know,
that followed, like Jerry Springer and all them things.
Yeah, Jerry Springer and Maury Povich, and there was a few other ones out there that did basically the same thing. It was just a big show on stage, and they had to have bouncers on the stage because you never know when a fight could break out.
That's right. Within the reality of it all.
Yeah, and Maury Povich, he's the guy who's married to Connie Chung. I forget what the
Connie is. Chung, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I always wondered what she saw in him, but he probably isn't anything like we know him.
I would imagine not. He seems like a pretty cool guy, though.
Yep.
So we're just going to throw in the Stitcher spot.
Now you can hear the Jabbercast on Stitcher Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, and free, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com.
Next week on the Jabbercast, we have Seers and Soothsayers. Wow, that's going to be fun.
Seers?
Yeah.
Like the store in the mall, you mean?
Roebuck. No.
Sears Roebuck. Oh, Simpson Sears.
This is your your show.
All
Sears
right.
And Soothsayers. So we'll have to just figure it out next week. I mean, it could be stores. It could be Four Sears.
I think it's going to be more Four Sears and that's less foreskin. Be cool.
And Soothsayers. Whoa, here we go.
That was perfect.
All right, so All right. We're out of here.
Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.